You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, what starts out as a conversation about basketball evolves into a conversation full of life lessons. For John Lucas III, basketball has been his life. His pops, John Lucas, was a player and has had a long career as a coach spanning multiple eras of the NBA. John grew up in the game, becoming a pro himself. He's seen it from the perspective of the star, the backup, the journeyman, and the rookie. The game took him all over the world and is, for the most part, his identity. For Gil, John is the type of player who gets it. He knew who he was as a player, understands the business of the game, and knows his big picture. That picture comes from a valuable lesson that any and every player will find out at some point: humility. No matter if you're a GOAT or a bench player, you experience L's, cuts, and failures of some kind at some point. As long as you learn from them, you'll grow and be better off for the experience. It's an episode of the No Chill Podcast that will absolutely get you thinking. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast to get every episode as soon as they drop. Don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget No Chill with Gilbert Arenas every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello today over there on the couch. Of course, we got Gilbert Arenas on the other part of the couch. We have John Lucas III. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Gil, this is an interesting thing that I think people have to respect. When you come up as a coach's son, we've never really got into that before. I think we've had some people that maybe came up that way. But John, for you, that's definitely part of your path and your story. So let's get into that. How is that a gift and a curse?
Oh, man. The gift was you got access to just about any and everything when it came to basketball. You know, growing up, you know, being a ball boy ever since I was 4 years old. So I was always around legends and soaking everything up as I can. You know, taking pictures. My dad had this thing. I had to take pictures with everybody, like Larry Bird. And we was in town. I had to take a picture with Larry Bird, take a picture with Dr. J.
And back in the day, those were the film cameras.
Yeah, film cameras. So yeah.
Filming, do this, right?
For sure. So he'll have like the photographer or whoever the Rockets was at the time always take that picture for me. So Manute Bol, Charles Barkley, just everybody, any and everybody. And I have them all in my house. Still to this day, they hung in my game room. But just like playing one-on-one against Michael Jordan, Bird, like being like that involved and not really looking at it, like I just thought of him like, oh, you know, there's Mike. And I used to call him by their first names. It was just cool. It was an experience like, you know, working with all those guys. And then the older I got to compete against guys like Stephon Marbury, Steve Francis, Katino Mobley, Allen Iverson, Damon Stoudemire, Muggsy Bogues, stuff like that, both training and picking up games and, you know, giving me jewels and stuff of, you know, because they knew I wanted to make it and I was really dedicated to the craft of basketball. So they would just saw something in me and it would just help me. I always used to get picked up right away as soon as I walked in the gym. I didn't care if it was a college kid in there that was trying to make the NBA. They knew my work ethic and they knew how hard I went. So I've never had to like wait my turn to play. I used to get on right away. So that just made me even more confident. So when I played high school to me was easy. I'm like, if I can hold my own against these guys, then I'm not really fearing nothing in high school, honestly. But just the stories I have. You know, being in a barbershop with Michael Jordan and people in the South Side of Chicago figuring out Mike was in the barbershop and flooded outside, had to be police escorted. It was during the time of my dad was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks at the time and he was playing the Bulls in the playoffs. And then they went to the Eastern Conference Championship and played against Bird. The Milwaukee did, and Bird ended up giving me his jersey after the game. And that's in the NBA, their jersey was made out of cotton then. It was like by Russell. Mm-hmm. Sweat stains and everything. I still have it. You know what I'm saying? Every pair of Michael Jordan shoes signed and autographed that he's played in, I have.
Thought you had a collection.
Yeah. I mean, but it was just more of like, I'm so sick in the mind when it comes to basketball. I used to like put my my feet in their shoes to if I could get a bit of like what they had to bring to me. Yeah. And my dad was like, that don't work. You just got to put the work in. But it was just like that type of stuff I really enjoyed being around. And, you know, the curse about everything was, you know, as I was going on playing in high school and getting my accolades and getting all these awards, a lot of people was like, oh, he only getting that because of who he is and, oh, he only getting that because of this. But I averaged 30 in high school, led the whole state in scoring, logged in over 3,700 points in high school. It was just like, nah, I put the work in, but my whole thing was just about protecting my name. Mm-hmm. So I used to hear stuff all the time, and Gil's son is probably going to go through the same thing I went through because we have the, you know, your last name hold weight. Mm-hmm. So parents just be like, oh, you know, you playing against today. Like, if you go out there and do him, we, you know, we can make our name. We can do it. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing was to protect my name. So you wasn't going to make a name off of me. I was seeking to destroy. And I wanted to show you the reason why I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And that was just I took that mentality into everything, life, business now, and even in college.
Yeah, I think what you said right there is, first thing, it opens doors for you in a way, right? And then the other is that you're hunted, you know? And I think if you get ahead of that and know, like, all right, they're coming for me, it's something you can definitely, you know, I think relate to. Is like, don't let them come for me. Or when they get here, I'm going to be here.
Did you actually play for your dad?
No, I never played for my dad. My dad didn't start training me. Like, people thought my dad trained me. Mm. My dad was a dad. Uh-huh. I had other trainers.
Okay.
So my dad was like, let me play every sport. I play hockey, lacrosse, baseball, indoor soccer, everything until I got to high school. And he was like, okay, we're going to focus on two sports. And that was tennis and basketball for me. Mm-hmm. And then he started getting more hands-on with me my sophomore year in high school. So I had a shooting coach. Mm-hmm. I had RIP to my godfather, Grant Gondrzik, who played in the league for a little bit, who was really hands-on with me in the gym with me every day. And those were my trainers until my sophomore year. And then it kind of like, they put it all together. Mm-hmm. It was like, he was almost, we call it gumbo. He was getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I didn't know at the time what I was getting until he put his final touch on there. And it all just came out.
You know what's so funny? When parents asked me, I was like, go through all the trainers you can possibly go through because everyone has something different. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's when I let my son train. Do y'all. I will finish it off because right. I know what it takes to, you know, but everybody else, feed them. Because everyone has their own knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everyone sees the game different. You know, you see it from a smaller guy's perception. So you know how to do all that extra stuff. Me, I didn't have the mid-range. I didn't have the floating touch. Because it was either mid-range jumper, three, or I'm trying to get to the goddamn.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I didn't have, like, I trained and worked on it. I actually never used it in the game. I remember I did I was in Portland, and I did a runner for the game when I airballed it. Mm-hmm. I airballed my runner. Mm-hmm. I was like, what was that? I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. I was working on it, but, you know, it's like, so, you know, with my kids, it's just, you guys go through your trainers, and then I'll see what's lacking, what needs to be changed, what needs to be fixed, and then, you know, it's the gumbo style.
Yeah. Like, even today, now that I'm training, you can tell a difference with who people train mm-hmm. and how people talk. To me, I'm more detail. Obviously, you know that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to training, like with kids, right, I always tell my parents, like, do your research. Do a background check. Like, where have they played? What mm-hmm. have they brought? What, you know, because I see a lot of kids these days lack the fundamentals and lack the skills because everybody trying to show them a Kyrie move or a Steph move. Mm-hmm. But when these kids can't make a regular right-hand layup jumping off the left foot, why are we teaching kids to jump off the right foot making a right-hand layup? So I've always used the analogy of, like, to build a house, you got to start with a foundation. Mm-hmm. And to me, the foundation is fundamentals. And then you work your way up. But if I try to show you a Steph Curry shooting from half court and you can't give me at least 80% from mid-range mm-hmm. and then 80% from the regular three or 75, 60% from the regular three, mm-hmm. we shouldn't extend it until we get there.
Yeah.
So I'm old school with it because I know it works, but I also throw a little flair into it too so it doesn't feel like it's so old. Because one thing I know about basketball is it has not changed, mm-hmm. right? The object is to put the ball in the hole. And at the guard position, you got to know your spots. So to me, I'm really big on being efficient, right? So I don't let any of my guards shoot top of the key threes. Mm-hmm. And the reason is we don't take too many top of the key threes because that's the trailing big man.
Yeah.
That's the guy who takes the ball out. So let's get so efficient for these four spots, wing and corners, because most of the time, that's where you're going to be in the offense, and that's where you're going to start the offense. Only time you shoot a top of key shot, and Gil knows, if it's a hand grenade or the shot clock going down.
Yeah, one full flat.
Or, you know, the game's on the line, and that's where you get the ball. Mm-hmm. But why not get so consistent? So Derrick Rose and I, good friends, but like one of my really good friends, his son actually trains with me, PJ, teammates in Chicago. Then I end up becoming his coach in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, he can't shoot, he can't shoot. To me, I'm like, nah, he can shoot. I done seen it. But nobody actually ever toned in on his shooting, right? Shooting to me is a lot of repetition. Mm-hmm. Like, you think okay, I shoot 100 shots. That's nothing.
Yes.
Like, me growing up, my dad had me shoot 1,500 mates, not shots, 1,500 mates in the morning, 1,500 mates at night. Mm-hmm. That's 3K a day.
Yeah.
7 days a week, I'm getting up 21K for the week. Mm. So it's like riding a bike.
I know that's music to your ears too, though.
Yeah, yes.
It's not just reps, it's makes.
Makes. So I count makes. Like, until you make 100 in that spot, you might shoot 200. You might shoot 250.
Yeah.
But I'm all about makes. So it's being efficient. So Derek and I used to always argue. So I just pulled up 10 clips of our last 10 games, right? Mm-hmm. And we sat down, we watched. I said, how many shots you shot from the top of the key? Because he used to get mad, why we don't shoot top of the key threes? Why we don't get shot the key threes? I said, okay, we played 10 games. There, you took a total of 5 top of the key shots. And it's because nobody wanted their shooting percentage to get down. So they hand grenade you the ball mm-hmm. while you were trying to get back on defense. Mm-hmm. And you end up shooting it. I said, but these 10 games, you took a total of 60 shots from these four spots. So once he saw that and realized that's all we worked on, and he, that year in Minnesota, he shot his highest percentage from the three his whole career.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the key. Sometimes when you're trying to, because you can see it, and you're trying to tell someone, like, yo, you don't, and they're like, nah. Like, and then you have to actually show them. It. Like, listen, I tell parents too, coaches, videotape is so important because you can stop everything in real time. Like, hey, hold on, you said what? You shot? No, this is where you shot. This is what you right. actually did. This is where that person actually was. So the person can actually see their mistake in real time instead of you just yelling it. Because if you're yelling it and it didn't register how it went in their head, you're going to sit there and do that. So I say, you always videotape and you say, all right, here's the clips. What were you thinking here? And let them look at it. And they're like, oh, I thought he was going to. Okay. Long as you
recognize.
You know, long as you recognize it to understand how to get better at it. You know, so the same thing I do in mine. Look, we're going to videotape. You're going to play. We're going to videotape. And then there you go. Watch it yourself. Like, you're shooting on the way down. I don't know what that sidestep was. You know? Like, you sidestep, he hit the ball. I don't know. Right. You know, and now going back and work the right way. Right. You know, so that's all you can basically do.
Yeah, and like every coach always say, film don't lie. Uh-huh.
So tape don't lie, numbers don't lie.
Right.
You have those two things.
The numbers lie. You can manipulate those.
Well, I'm just saying.
You can manipulate those.
If you want to get your message across, you can just look at it here, like with field goal percentage. Too.
Yeah.
Just say, like, yo, you're a knockdown shooter. You went 5 for 18.
Right.
Yeah, it was so funny. Someone, I did that with someone once, right? And because I was like, man, he's a bad shooter. And I'm like, no, he's not. I think we're just putting him in positions that's not beneficial to him.
Yes.
So I started doing a little stats and realized spot shooting, oh, he was gold money. Move, horrible. But since all of our plays was on a move, he looked like a really bad shooter when he was just a knockdown flat spot shooter. Yeah. And I said, you know, so, you know, he's sitting with a 13%, you know, but his spot shooting is 80%. You know, I was like, well, we just might want to just, he's not a Cal Corbett.
Right.
You know, he's not a Cal Corbett. You just sit your ass in a corner and, you know, be atmosphere right now until we, you know, and you know, so sometimes you have to really, as I said, sometimes numbers do lie, mm-hmm. and you have to really look at and see what's what.
Right, exactly. So good example for D. Rose, you can look at that for him and say, and I think that's the job of a coach too, is like, I'll look at these numbers for you and tell you, like, actually, you are 75% from the corner. That's your strength, or, you know, or mid-range or whatever. But like you said, those hand grenade shots, yeah, that's a bad
idea. I would never, because when I was a player, I used to hate when they used to bring you a little, when analytics started coming into the game and they'll bring you the sheet of paper and they'll show you. I used to hate looking at it. And then now while I'm playing the game, I'll be wide open. And I'll be like, oh, I can't shoot that. My percentage. So like, you know what I'm saying? Because now percentages can really keep you in the league longer.
Yo, I listen, this is a true story. I'm not going to say the person's name. But he used to irritate me because he's an amazing shooter, and every time I pass on the ball, if he wasn't wide open by himself, he wouldn't shoot the ball. And it just like, yo, shoot it. Like, it's like I'm getting double shoot it, right? And no, so I hit him one day like, yo, dog, what's going on, bro? I don't want to mess up my shooting percentage because it's my contract year. I said, say what? He was like, it's my contract year, you know?
Yeah.
And this is what he said. He said, I'm in a different situation than you are. See, you can put up shots and you're 32, 20, that is your gold.
Right.
My gold is my percentage. I can get your money or close to your money with percentage because I'm not going to get as many shots. See, I'm third, fourth, fifth option. Shooter. So, you know, I got to make sure I'm in the 90, you know, 60, you know, 7 rebounds, 80% from the free throw lines, 30. And I'm sitting here like, and sure enough, motherfucker averaged like 8-10. Because it's like, well, if he shot more, he'd be averaging this and this and this and this. And boom, got a big contract. And I'm sitting here like.
Mm-hmm. So, the points wouldn't matter?
No.
See, that's where the game's going to now.
Right.
Like,
point, like, you know, you averaged 12 points, but you shot 60% from the field, 50 from the three, 90.
Oh,
all a good Asian does is says, all right, well, you know, he was like the fourth option there. You can make him your second option. You give him more shots, you know, bring it down a little bit. He'll average 20.
That's how they look at it.
Unless they look at the film.
No.
It's like, so now it's all about numbers. It's point now that I jumped on the other side, coaching and being in coaching, meaning beating and all that. Like, actually, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And then the older I got, right, and the longer I got in my career, I saw the league was getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at any NBA team right now, it's no veterans on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the veteran is a 24-year-old who probably never played more than a certain amount of games.
Yeah.
And it all happens because of the collective bargaining agreement. We signed that deal where only four players get paid, everybody, different year. And then the more years you get, the more money you know, you just start thinking about that stuff. But I always made it a point. See, I was a volume shooter. I didn't care about percentages. Yeah. I just knew I was a bucket. And I knew that, and the coaches that I had my best seasons with knew who I was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was always based my career on plus and minus. So I didn't really look at points or my assists or turnovers like this. If I was in the plus and minus, like I think I hold one of the highest for efficiency. Cause every time I was in the game, we all the minutes I was on the court, I was in the plus. Mm-hmm. So that means he's bringing something positive every time he steps foot on that court. So I think that's what made me pan out 3 more years in the league. Longer.
So you used the, did you use?
Yeah, at the older I got that I used it. I was when I'm in the game, are we down by 30? Mm-hmm. And you know, trash minutes, and they throw you in there. If I cut that lead to 15, I'm a plus 25.
Yeah.
I started playing the game like that. So I was like, okay, we up 20. I got to keep this lead, or we got to build this lead. Because if you lose a lead, now you are negative. And that's how I start. So when I used to get the stats, you had to go like, okay, plus 25.
Plus 25.
I'm cool. I was 0-for-5 from the field. I'm cool on
but
that.
You know what's so funny? And when people say the game inside the game, people don't realize that those are the games that's going inside the games on contract years and just anything like some like you. I don't care about. If I miss shots, I don't care about over. When I got in, this is what we did. That's all I care about. You know what I mean? Because when it's negotiation time, they're going to be looking at me like, what did you bring? Okay, so I brung. I know I averaged 2 points. Cool. But when I got in, this is what we did. Every single game, I am a efficient plus. So when I'm on the court, no matter if I'm making it, we're getting better. And you got to remember, coaches, general managers, they don't understand the details sometimes in what a player brings. All they know is, oh, he only averaged 2 points. He's getting them. Like, well, hold on. Woo. Hold on. I think I'm worth $5 million because of this. Right. And they be like, oh, he didn't. Did you know? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, you think about it like, man, like, it's just crazy how it all happens like that, right? So the point of the plus and minus, like when I, the playoff year in Chicago, right? I had a hell of a year that year. I think the lockout year, I was playing basketball, like Rucker Park, New York, Pro-Am, Nike. I averaged 50 in that. I was there when I played against KD when he scored 66 at Rucker. Mm-hmm. I scored 25, but it completely washes that 25 away, right? So then the next night, we play KD. Now it's the Nike Pro-Am at Baruch College. We play. I found out, okay, KD playing. All right, I'm locked in, right? So we play. They had like 4 NBA. They had like Roy Hibbert. They had Andre Barrett, KD. And I know I'm going to mess his name up, but Santiago Gaines. Santiago Gaines on that team, right? On my team, it was me, Sean Singletary that went to University of Virginia, and a couple of other, like, you know, maybe St. John's, a player from St. John's, a couple of local players.
Oh, so you're just getting buckets there.
Oh, no, I was locked in because I'm like, the whole night and day you hear about the 66.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, I was in that game. My name ain't mentioned. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going against him, but
I was doing my thing.
Yeah, I like 25 at the Rucker. Like, I got my nickname from New York, Cool Hand Luke. Like, I'm solidified.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm really going to solidify it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because basketball to me is about competition.
Yeah.
Right? I hate when people run away from competition. I hate when people don't want to play against or don't match up. I done seen it in the league. People been scared of each other. I done seen people fake injuries.
Fake injuries.
Like some of your favorite players. I done seen when D Rose was MVP year, D Rose, and D Rose was D Rose. I done seen people catch the Rose flu.
People think that's fake.
We used to joke about it. Because me and D Rose sit right here. And we'll go out there. I used to start, and I knew when somebody was kind of shaking of them or something. So, you know, like, I knew my role.
Yeah, for what reason? They don't want to be embarrassed?
Man, it's a
I don't know. It's competition.
It's like, competition.
Yeah, but you would just think if you're a pro, you want
no,
to smoke.
No, everybody don't want to smoke.
Obviously, everybody doesn't want it, but you would think they do at that level.
Nah,
it separates the men from the boys.
It do, but it make, like, so that was my reason of coming back at Nike, and I was like, I bet. So I scored 60 that night. KD had 46. But we lost in overtime, right? But my point, like, New York, they was like, and I'm the 13th man on the roster, 14th, 15th man on the roster, Chicago. And my whole point was like, people were like, man, how's he in the league? How's he in the league? Woo, woo. All right. I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. But it's levels to this, right? The levels is you got D Rose, you got this and that, got that. Like, if you're an ultimate pro, and there's no that saying you don't think you can compete with them, right? It's just saying you know your role.
Yeah.
And a lot of people at that position I have been, don't understand their role. They want to be the man, right? But at that position, you got to stay ready at all times because you don't know when that opportunity going to come. And if you're not ready for that moment, you might not get another opportunity or you might get that pink slip in your locker and you see somebody else coming in and you up out of there. So my whole thing by staying in the league was always staying ready. I don't care if I didn't play that game, this game, that. But if I didn't play for 11 games and that 12th game came, I was ready. And that's one of my niches that I pride on was, other than the plus and minus of being efficient, was also staying ready. So I always stay with my routine, right? So when the second year after we lost to the Eastern Conference Finals to Miami, you know, we expected to go back the following year, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of injuries and stuff. So that was my first NBA start. Scored 25-8-8 against the Wizards. I was just like, I'm not going back to China. I'm not going back overseas. Like, I shot the ball like 28 times that game.
As you should.
I was the only point guard. CJ was hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Derek was hurt. I played 48 minutes. They had to give me an IV after the game. Haven't played 48 minutes since I left China. Right? So I remember I turned down a shot to pass the Cal Corp. And Tibbs was like, I will play Ronnie Brewer at point guard if you turn down another shot. I said, cool. I shot that thing. Every time he was like, if you see the rim, let it go. But Tibbs knew me as a player. He knew I hated coming off pick and rolls to the left. And Derek and CJ, like,
love coming up.
I was right-handed. I got over 15,000 points in this hand and probably about 100 in this hand. So I was trying to get to my right. So when I checked into the game, we ran all the offense on the left side of the court for me to come right. So we just flipped it. Because he knew he's a player's coach. And that's when I had my best years, because I had a coach who knew me to the T. Because I first came in the league, he was my assistant coach in the Rockets, my rookie year. And he's the coach I had in summer league who let me be me. I played every minute in summer league. I should have got MVP, but technically I wasn't a rookie because I had 2 10-days the year before my original rookie year, so I was already considered a one-year player. So they end up getting the MVP of summer league my year. I averaged 28-8-8 in summer league. They gave it to Randy for his rookie year. And I was like, he ran every play for me. High pick, side pick, coming over. He was just like,
hated to guard you then.
I mean, if I ain't get the first pick, we rescreen.
Too much movement.
We ran out of that. So then I signed my 3-year deal with the Rockets. And now I'm with Trace McGrady, Yao Ming. So I'm coming off the summer league bus. So I'm in practice, like, getting my, you know, doing shit. And Van Gundy hated young guard, like young players. So he was
Yes.
Jeff. I had both.
Yeah.
Had both.
Oh, you had Jeff? I see it.
I had Jeff, and then I signed with the Pistons and had Stan. So I had both Van Gundys. And one day we in practice and Tibbs was like, yo, who you think you are? Like, who you think you are as a player? I was like, oh, I'm AI. Like, I'm Bubba Chuck. Like, what you mean? I'm a woo. And he was like, hell no. He was like, you shitting me? And his raspy voice was like, are you shitting me? You know who you are? I'm like, all right, who? Like, now I'm like this. He was like, you're Dana Barrows.
He could score.
And yeah. I was like, I remember Dana Barrows because he played for my pops in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. And he scored a 50-point game.
Yeah, yeah.
But he ain't play a lot, right? So I'm like, so next day in I had like 8 DVDs uh-huh. of all Dana Barrows stuff from college, league stuff like that. And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh shit, I do play like him. Like mid-range, uh-huh. fadeaway right, floaters, runners. So I just start watching, right? And so I was like, okay. And then I started noticing one thing, right? He was in there for one thing, to change the pace and to get quick buckets. Mm-hmm. So it was like, Tills would kind of tell me, if you want, this should be your niche. Like, you might not run a team like Rafer Austin or mm-hmm. your typical point guards at that time in the league was, because it was traditional point guard, yeah. got the ball, still superstars, yeah. mm-hmm. you know? So he was like, but when Jeff calls you in there, you pick up the pace, pick up full court, mm-hmm. and it don't take you long to get going. So we just start working on that in our player development stuff, like going through different scenarios of getting quick buck.
I hated to be in a game when those players came in.
All right, let's take a break to talk about our friends at DraftKings. Pigskin fans, the moment you've all been waiting for all season is right around the corner. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer the questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion. I'll say that one more time. $7 billion to its players since 2012. So they know a thing or two about big paydays. If you're ready for the Super Bowl, the best place to experience it is by making your picks with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code NOCHILL to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use the promo code NOCHILL now and enter the free $50 million Super Bowl challenge only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good luck. And this episode of the No Chill Podcast is also brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage I have ever tried. Nothing is more important than balanced nutrition for performance and function. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients we need to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise, stress, or simply not eating enough of the right foods. This is where Athletic Greens can help. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. You know, when I worked out, I was just a water guy. Just for nutrition and hydration, water seemed to do the trick with electrolytes. Then I introduced Athletic Greens to the process, and that packs not only hydration and electrolytes, but also vitamins that you wouldn't get otherwise. And it's a perfect time to incorporate it when you're working out because you'd need it the most. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more.
that all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, increase energy and focus, aid with digestion, and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. That's the important thing. When you take multiple pills and hate the process, no, you want to put it in a shake with a good flavor, I might add. And it's all done in one shot, and it works on the go. It's easy to use, and it's easy to be a part of. Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve this one holistic formula based on the latest research, producing 53 iterations over the last decade and counting. They invest in the most absorbable and natural source of each ingredient and go above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure their customers continue to receive the highest and best nutritional habit on the planet. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system during the winter months. They're offering the audience of the No Chill podcast a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never need to buy vitamin D ever again. So whether you're looking for peak performance or better health, covering your bases with Athletic Greens makes investing in your energy, immunity, and gut health each day simple, tasty, and efficient. So simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and join health experts, athletes, and health-conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today.
Because, you know, I'm, you know, when you come in, I'm like, yeah, a little tired, you know, yeah, trying to be, and then you got somebody who's instant buckets, and they supposed to like get buckets really quick. Like, yo, hey, sub me out. I'm not trying to.
Well, because you already have your rhythm.
Yeah,
and he's tired.
And I'm kind of tired. Mm-hmm. You know, so I already done got the starter out. So cool. I'm thinking it's about to be an easy match. And it's coming through pick and roll, throw the ball, picking up full court, like, oh, hell no. Where's Steve Blake? Come on, man, put Steve Blake and Juan Dixon up in here, man. I got time for this.
That's the thing to understand. We've had Lou Williams on before, and that's what he does. Like, that's his match.
But that's what I'm saying. So but that's what I'm saying. The game of basketball is different every night, because that's what I'm saying. I'm playing against Rafe. He ain't scoring. You know, I'm about to get a little money. It's him. Yeah, this is easy right here. Because he ain't coming back. He has T-Mac and Yao to pass the ball to. So the starting point guard, to me, I don't really have to waste any energy on. He goes out, mm-hmm, so pick up full court. Now you got the backup picking up full court, and then now on offense, I'm used to trying to double. Now he's scoring. Now he got a quick 15 in 3 minutes. Like, God damn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like sometimes the backup is harder to guard than, mm-hmm, a starter, because his role is different. He don't have to come in, he don't have to think. He just let that fly.
He just play.
Like the ultra green light. Like, you know, there's some players that got the ultra green light coming out the bench. You'd be like, yo. Like,
yeah, you're a specialist. You come in for one thing and one thing only.
Yeah, I hated to be a starter. I did. When I was in Utah, I started.
Mm-hmm.
When I left, I started like the first 12, 13 games. And I was awful. I hated it.
For what reason?
I was like, I want to come off the bench.
Because the role change.
I couldn't be me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm up here passing the ball to Enes Kanter, going to set a pick for Derek Favor. Mm-hmm. And like Gordon, now we got Gordon and Hayward, and I'm, mm-hmm, swinging. I'm like, well, when I'm going to get my, like, I'm not used to this. Like everywhere else I've been a backup, mm-hmm, and I was specifically come in and do me. Mm-hmm. Like when they took me out of the starting lineup, I was like, yes. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I know that backup unit ain't have a lot of scoring.
Backup unit got a score.
And I could be
you.
You
get to do you.
But we were just so young and so bad, like, they shut all the veterans down by like before even All-Star break.
Oh, wow.
So it was just me, B. Rush, and Richard Jefferson. We just sitting there, and it, like, you know, just young, you know, draft. That's when I learned about, oh, let's try to, you know, get draft picks now, stuff like that. I was like, nah, I ain't used to that. I'm about winning. So I was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I like coming off the bench. And Stan, I even told Stan when we traded DJ Augustine, he was like, oh, you gonna start against the Bulls. Even though I was itching because I know I was going against my old team,
yeah.
I was like, I low-key want to keep my same minutes. So I was like, Stan, why don't you start Spencer? Deal with it. And let me stay with my unit.
Because mm-hmm.
we was clicking. My unit was clicking. And like we could have made the playoffs if we didn't make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because we ended up getting Reggie Jackson, that trade that happened.
Yeah.
And we was rolling. Like, we was on an 8-game, 9-game winning streak. Then when that trade happened where they sent DJ to OKC, Reggie Jackson came to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time for guys to gel yeah. and new. And I was just like, look, I want to stay in my position. Let Spencer. So that was Spencer's first start against the Bulls coming out of All-Star break.
Mm.
Coming out of All-Star break, that was his first start. And we end up being the Bulls. I ended up having like 16 coming off the bench because I was with my normal group. So I knew my role. I didn't want to be a starter.
Dang. That takes me back to my second year, not my rookie year, when Bobby Sura didn't want, like when Larry Hughes got hurt, Bobby Sura didn't want to start. He said, I want to stay with what I'm doing, start the rookie. Because he didn't want the responsibilities of sitting them getting involved when he was the player who came off the bench and made instant offense. Now that makes sense.
And that took time. That was like growth for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was just like, I'm shooting one of the highest percentages ever. I know my spots. Mm-hmm. I know where I'm gonna get the ball. I know if it's time to create, I can create because I'm out there with Anthony Tolliver, who mm-hmm. can't create for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Knockdown shooter, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, KCP,
mm-hmm.
who really couldn't beat nobody on dribble. He just just running. You know what I'm saying? I know I had Greg coming over, sending a pick for me with a roll action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, create a single side tech. Or Stan always used to let me ISO on the wing.
What?
So I was like, I don't want to take that away. I just came back from China. First of all, this is the craziest year I had. So I just got married, right? Mm-hmm. I've been in the league for like the last 6 consecutive years. I get married. My agent called me like 2 days before my wedding date, said, oh, you've been traded to Cleveland. I said, ew. Right? Because my dad used to coach in Cleveland, so I know what Cleveland's about. I was like, ew. They were terrible. And then like a couple days later, LeBron announced he's coming back to Cleveland. So I was like, okay, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, even though people think me and Bron always beef because of what we had going on, which is nothing, just basketball.
Just basketball.
So I get there, I'm like, okay, get married, boom, we in Cleveland. Get to Cleveland, Kyrie, we clicking up, me and Kyrie working together. Bron coming in, I'm like, okay, this could work. Phil working us out. Like, ooh. A day before training camp start, I get traded to Boston. I'm like, so me and my wife at dinner in Cleveland getting ready for a training camp. Found out we going to Brazil. That's when they went to Brazil to play Miami.
Yeah.
I'm like, we get to go to Brazil. It's going to be on the league, too. I ain't got to pay for it. It's going to be on the league. It's going to be lit. Get traded to Boston the day before training camp start.
Wow.
I was like, then I look. I said, okay. Boston just drafted Marcus Smart, who are my alumni. I went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
They had Phil Presley, who's like my god brother, because Paul Presley and my dad played together in Milwaukee. Rondo, Avery Bradley. I'm like, that makes me the 5th point guard. Said, oh, I'm not going to play there. You know what I'm saying? I'm just non-guarantee. I'm the non-guarantee person. So Danny Ainge called me and said, hey, we're excited. Ooh, you know. I said, hey, can y'all release me? Like, I was like, because I know I'm not going to make it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have me go through camp, and then I get cut on the last day. Now I got to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. He was like, and Danny Ainge is you know. All right, cool. I said, cool. So I'm waiting. You know, you got to wait 72 hours, whatever. Rondo breaks his hand somehow. I don't know how. So Danny Ainge called me. He's like, oh, well, Rondo broke his hand. Like, I was like, yeah, but you still got these 3 other, you know, He was like, yeah, you like. So they you know, they let me go. So now I'm at home, like, never been home in LA. I'm like watching the games. I'm like, come on, this is crazy. Like, just watching. So I get, you know, I've always wanted to play for DC.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I was born in DC. My dad went to Maryland. My wife went to Howard. Like, I have family in DC. I played for the Maryland Stallions with Jerry. Jerry used to fly from Houston to, so I'm like, oh, so the Wizards called me. Tommy Shepard, you know, he knew me from, you know, with the Rockets when he was with the organization. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to sign with him when I left the Bulls, but it didn't happen. Like, numbers didn't happen. So I get to DC, I'm like, oh, I'm finally here. You know, I love their jerseys. Yeah, stories, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, yeah, probably, okay, John Wall, that's my boy. You know, Bradley Beal, okay. Andre Miller there, OG, mm-hmm. played for my pops in Cleveland. We call him Richard Pryor because he looked like him a little bit. So I'm in there with all my guys. You know, my big brother, Rasul Butler, rest in peace. So I had like a lot of friends. So I'm like, I'm excited. Right, I'm excited. I'm like, okay, cool. So I get there. We only got one preseason game left. So usually when they bring somebody in at the end, you're in there.
Yeah, yeah,
you're like, they're not going to bring you in, waste your time, stuff like that. So I go through one practice. We fly to New York. I play the preseason game, had a good game, come back, have practice. You know, they got to make the deadline cut. So I'm in there getting, you know, doing my normal routine. And then it was like, hey, Luke, coach want to see you. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm naming, thinking. I'm about to get waived or cut, anything like that, because of the timing. Like, so we go on there. Well, Coach Whitman, like, taller guard. So they end up keeping Rasul Butler over me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I was only here 72 hours. Like, literally 72 hours. And I was like, ah. So my wife is with me now. She's mad because she was, like, looking for housing in D.C., like, Potomac, you know. She's, like, all excited, calling her friends that still live there from Howard. I'm like, I get home from practice. I was like, hey, babe, I got something to tell you. They didn't let me go. So she mad. And I was like, so we just packed. You know, I'm an NBA kid. So my dad's been traded. I'm used to.
You're not a pack and leave.
You know, I never think something's home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally went to like 7-8 different schools growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, oh, I'll see y'all later. I don't know when I'm gonna see y'all.
See y'all later.
What's the next adventure? I looked at everything as a venture, as a journey. So I was like, all right, man, it's okay, man. We gonna be fine. Like, you know, go back home, chilling. My agent was like, there's a team in China that wants you. I was like, I don't know, you know. So I threw a number out there. I was like, a high number.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, I know they're not gonna, for 2 months, I know they're not gonna give me that. He was like, okay, they said, yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
Called your bluff.
Called my bluff. So I was like, Yao Ming brought his old team, Shanghai Sharks, who you played for too. I played for Shanghai. And Yao Ming called me one day after I got released from Miami. And I thought somebody was playing on my phone because he never calls. So he was like, John, this Yao. I said, oh, yeah. Hung up the phone. Calls me back. He's like, no, it's me, John. It's y'all. I was like, what's up, big fella? He was like, hey, I just brought my team in China. I want you to be my point guard. And I was like, China? Like, this is before, like, I didn't know nothing about China basketball. So I was like, all right, y'all. I was like, he was like, well, how much would it cost for you? I was like, 85 a month. I just threw a number out. He was like, okay. He was like, so I had to fly home to Houston, get a visa. Woke up a day later, I'm in Shanghai. I'm like, what the? Loved it.
Fans, them.
Loved it. I was in Shanghai, it's like New York City on steroids. I had a driver. I had a 3-bedroom condo downtown. Like, living like a king. My face is on the billboard everywhere. I couldn't walk nowhere in Shanghai. They gave me another nickname. I was called Wizard because I did magic with the ball. You know, they got all kinds of. And I was like, Lucas-san.
Lucas-san.
Jayo. Like, Jayo. Like,
I said the same thing. Like, when I went out there, it made me fall in love with basketball again. Like, it's like, it's all love. It's positive. It's just
positive.
There's no negativity.
Is there one catch, though? You got to score. It's all volume.
But if you're a scorer, it doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is, like, for just, they made you feel like you were Kobe Bryant, man, right?
No, I called home and I told everybody like, yo, F the league, I'm good. Okay. I said, I am good. I got every game I win, it's an envelope, a cake. Yeah. If I make the playoffs, that's another 70K bonus. If I get past the first round, that's an, I'm counting, I'm like, dude, that what I would make in a year, in the league.
In a
and
year.
It's tax-free.
And this is a couple months.
And I'm only there 4 months. So it's tax-free, so I'm over there killing. I was like the only small guard there because they always kept big guards, right? So my first year, I was the only small guard there. It was a point guard, and I had a big man. Everybody else had two bigs. Jeez. So I was a small guard. So I was averaging like 30-some for it, but having fun with it, you know. I got commercials. I got sponsored. Then I got sponsored by Lee Ning before BDN. I'm like sponsored by Lee Ning. It was like a new company. Like, oh, they give me some bread too. So I was like, I've always been a Nike kid, but in China, I just wore the, you know, wore the style. So they thought, that's why, and if you see the clips from the New York games, I was on the sponsorship deal with Lee Ning, so I had Lee Ning's on. The BD's on.
Yeah, the BD's.
So I had them on. So I'm over there, I'm like, man, forget the league. I'm cool. So I started doing my own agency. I'm like, I made this, like, if y'all want me to come back, you know, we do the numbers, I do it. So I ended up doing it. I'm flying back home. I it came such a hustle to, like, not a hustle, but I embedded because, you know, I'm looking over there. You're going to notice and you're going to laugh. I was like, oh, you can really take it by storm. Like how Marbury's doing. All you have to do is buy into the culture.
Yeah.
See, when Americans get over there, they try to act all
American. They try to act all American.
But that was the thing for Marbury at that time in his life and his career. He needed that. He got there, he bought in because it was new. It was fresh. And you said it was all love. Yeah.
That's what I said. It's like, but just hearing him, you see why some guys who go over to China don't come back.
Don't come back.
Because you were the Michael. You're Kobe. Like how Kobe and LeBron, and they be chasing him down the street. And you go over there, you're the 13, 15 guy, and you watching all the fans over there, and you sitting there walking through the hotel, and then you go to China, and you are that. It's hard.
It's hard.
The route you took, like you said, if you're the 12th, 13th guy, and you're disengaged with the game, you need that. You want to be at the
But front. That's what I'm saying. I'm a star in the NBA, so I'm getting this. Mm-hmm. When I went to China,
10 times.
I'm sitting here like, man, I'm good. I'm like, that's why China's my last. I'm good. Yeah. Like, I'm good. Like, if I didn't keep getting hurt, I'll be over there. Because it's like, I walked through the mall. Pitch, photo. Like, just million, like, it was just unbelievable. Go to the airport. I mean, they're chasing you down. Like, it was like, this is what the cold feel like. This is what Jordan.
Yeah, like you get that.
I'm Michael Jackson out this thing.
Like I got that. I'm like anything I wanted. Yep. If I want to go to Hong Kong for a week, business class. Go. Yep. Oh, come back. Or, you know, practice. And I was like, I'm kind of sore. They'll bring somebody in.
Yep. Fix it.
Fix me all up. And while all my teammates out there running around like crazy, I'm on the sideline. And I used to feel bad to do it. So I'd be like, nah, let's just do it at the condo. Yeah. And, you know, because I've always been like, those are my guys. Mm-hmm. I still keep in contact with all those guys that I play with in China. Like, those are my brothers. Yeah. And, you know, the money-wise is different. The way they make their money is different. So we had Mornings, Roof Chris, you know, all that. So I used to be like, hey, come on, I got it. But to me, it was about bonding. Mm-hmm. And they love basketball so much over there. It's crazy. So when I used to come back, I used to be like, man, cool. Like, my agent be like, oh, so-and-so wants you to bring in for a workout. So is it guaranteed money? I ain't going. All right. I'm cool staying in China. Cool. So we go on doing that. So I go back my second year. So we make the playoffs, and I make the playoffs in Shanghai my first year. And they ain't made the playoffs since Yao Ming left. Mm-hmm. That was 8 years ago. Yeah. So Yao's all happy. You know, he got me on the movie sets with Wars Philly, like just a whole bunch of stuff. Just everything's like, I'm like, yo, this is
this is it. Yeah.
This is cool right here.
You like, found basketball heaven.
Yeah, I'm like, at the club, they clearing out. And like, you know, whatever. So then second year we go, Tibbs get the head coaching job in Chicago. This is how I ended up in Chicago. Mm. So Tibbs was like, what you doing? He called me out the blue. I said, oh, you know, just training, just got done working with Pops, you know, doing my normal. He's like, you in shape? I was like, yeah. Like, you know, I used to have all, I talked to Tibbs like that's one of my guys. So I'm like, do a bear shit in the woods? Like, what you think? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm in shape. And so he was like, all right. Tibbs is like basketball. So he used to do mini camps all summer. Awesome. So he's like, oh, why don't you come to mini camp in Chicago? You know, 4 days, Monday through Thursday, Friday, y'all can get up out of here. And so I go do that, fly back home. They invite me back out there. Do that again, fly back home. Then he was like, well, what about camp? I was like, well, you know, I signed to China. You know, that, you know, hey, man. Like, you know, let's go. He was like, okay. So he was like, come to camp. Right? So I come to camp and they didn't keep nobody in camp. Gar and John Paxson, they liked me, but they didn't want to keep me. Mm-hmm. So they cut me, Kyle Weaver, they cut everybody, and they wanted to bring all these other point guards in that they want. But Tibbs like, no, I told y'all who I want as my third point guard. And then Derek was like, no, I want him as my teammate point guard. Because I was the only person picking Derek up full court in practice. Like, mm-hmm. To me, I'm like pushing him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, practice to me was games. Like, we get to a preseason game. I ain't playing. So I was like,
yeah, some practice is a
game. So I was like, practice is a game to me. And Derek saw that work ethic in me. So he was going like, nah, I want him. So they cut, they go like 8-9 games in the season. Derek get a crick in his neck. I'm at Wingstop. I'll never forget this. I'm at Wingstop with my dad. We just got done working out. I'm at Wingstop with my dad. My agent, Bernie Lee, called me. He was like, hey, what you doing? I was like, hey, Wingstop. We just got done working out. Got workouts again at 3. He's like, no, you don't. I said, what you mean? He's like, Chicago's signing you. You gotta get to the airport in 2 hours to fly to Denver and play tonight. I'm like, what? So I'm at Wingstop.
To play tonight.
To play tonight. So I'm like, yo, Dad, Chicago's signing me. Ooh. So my dad, he's so crazy. We driving, right?
Take those wings to go.
No. We ain't even... Left the wings there. Mm-hmm. I had 20 minutes to pack to go catch this flight that they booked for me. I literally didn't pack no basketball shoes. All I packed was white t-shirts. Uh-huh. I went to Costco.
Got them Kirklands.
Got the Kirkland 8-pack shirts. Yep. Now I ain't thinking I'm going to Denver. It's cold. Packed 4 pair of jeans. And you know, my dress shoes, you know, like not dress shoes, but like, you know, some shoes to go with. White tees go with everything.
Yeah.
I was like, I can get the rest of this stuff at the mall while I'm traveling. So I get there, I'm like, I forgot some shoes. Can somebody wear size 11? Like Nike, and it's gonna be too late for Nike to send. So they send Liggy, you know, Liggy, the equipment manager for the Bulls, to Foot Locker and get the shoes for me, right? So I get there. Warming up, Derek got crickets, man. CJ playing good. You know, I played good the first half, scored a little pull-up jump shot, little floater, you know. I get second half, I played cool. Fourth quarter comes. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I did good.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what I'm saying? So we get crunch time. It's like like 10 seconds left to go in the game. I knew for sure I won't go in the game, you know what I'm saying? So we couldn't get the ball in. It's like crunch time. Mm-hmm. Like, couldn't get the ball in, because you talking about free throws. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get the ball in, right? So Tibbs called a timeout. Tibbs always knew I don't panic. Uh-huh. I'm always poised. So he was like, Luke, you in the game, you're taking the ball out. This is the play we're gonna get in. I'm like, all right, cool. So I was like, the whole thing is get the ball in. Right? So I got the count in my head. Mm-hmm. I got his count. So we used to do this thing. Tibbs like, don't step out of bounds until everybody's set. Because once you step out of bounds, the referee hands you the ball and the count starts. So the referee had to pull me to get out of bounds because I'm literally standing on the court, making sure everybody's set to get back. So I get the bat. He hands the ball. I'm like, what is it? The play form. I get it to Kyle Korver, one of our best free throw shooters, right? So I just step in bounds. Like, I get it, Kyle. I don't think, why did he throw the ball back to me? So he threw the ball back to me. They were like, foul me right away. So now I'm at the free throw line. I'm like, all right, cool. I done been through this situation my whole life. Like, this is what you live for. Game on the line. You up one. You just have to hit these two. And the game over with. Get the free throw line. And shoot it. Felt good. Boom. Missed it. I'm like, oh, shit.
That old shit.
I said, oh, shit. I back up, you know, walk to the three-point line, get my shit together. I'm like, wipe my hand. I'm like, all right. Go through. Sit there. Shoot. Bang. Clacking them up. Missed that one. They get a rebound. Timeout. I'm like, oh, shit. I get out the game. Melo, being Melo, hit a fucking three. Win the game. Right? So you know ESPN, Twitter, like Chicago's a big sports town. It was like, cut him. I'm on Twitter right now. Cut him. He's trash. He's a bum. Why we even bring him? Ooh, because I missed two free throws. So we get Sacramento, fly Sacramento. You know, Joe Kim and all, ah, don't worry about that shit, you know. But it, I'm really mad because I'm supposed to knock them down. So we play, I don't play. I'm inactive now. You know, Derek's back. So I'm inactive. So that makes it even worse. Cause you like, I missed those free throws. Now they got me in a suit and tie. Fuck, I'm gonna get cut. Damn it. So now, like, and now you're on Twitter, you see all this shit. Get to Chicago, somebody throw a snowball at me because I missed the free throw. I'm walking down the street, somebody's like, that's what missing the free throws. I'm not making this up. I'm on Michigan Ave walking out of Nike Town. Somebody threw a snowball. It didn't hit me, but somebody threw a snowball and said, yo, that's for the free throws. Cost us the game. I'm like, it's only game 11 of the season. Like, I was like, oh. So I was like, all right, if I ever get that opportunity again, I'm gonna make the most of it. So we go on. So January 7th is the deadline for guaranteed contract. So I done a lot to where now guarding them, but they was like, look, we're gonna save money. Go back to China, because they knew I still had my China deal on the table. They said, go back to China for these last 2 months, and we're gonna bring you back when your season's over with. Me being me, I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. I'm like, all right. I don't believe him. You know what I'm saying? Because the league is it's so funny sick, like man. That. So I don't believe him. So I go to China. We make the playoffs again. So I knew lockout was happening, right? Before I left China, I signed a two-year deal with Shanghai. I was like, because I knew you start hearing agents talking about China, China, China. So I was like, let me lock myself in, get my guaranteed money. If a lockout's happening, I'm good. I got my 2 years, you know. So I go to China. Play. I said we lost in our conference finals to go to the championship. We lost to Guangdong, Smush Parker.
Okay.
Smush Parker and them. And so I come back and I signed with the Bulls. And we also signed JP, Gennaro Pargo. So Holmes, you know, we don't play. So that, but we go to Eastern Conference Championship. So you get that playoff check. Plus I got that. So I'm like, oh, this is a good year. I might win a championship. We like number one team. So if you're number one team in the league, you gotta split $1 million up between everybody if you're the number one team. Like, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you get bonus of like being the number one team in the NBA. We'll see. We play Indiana first round. Second round, we play Atlanta, Joe Johnson and them, Jeff Teague and them. And then we play Miami, right? So we smacked Miami first game. But we beat them all year, that year. So we smacked, and we like, oh, yeah, we going to the, like, we, like, I don't know what happened. D-Wade getting hung on dunks, Bron, mm-hmm. you know. We don't know what happened, but we smacked him.
We smacked him.
Feeling good. City buzzing, feeling good. Oprah, I don't know why she chose the day she chose, decided to do her farewell tour during the playoffs and rented out all the United Center. We gave the Miami Heat 4 days of rest before game two so she can tape the show.
Ooh. Oprah wins.
Man, that second game, they came out real rested, all kinds of stuff. So we split.
Him, Oprah.
Go to Miami. They win both games in Miami. Mm-hmm. We come home, we win. I know we lost in Chicago. So we lost, what was that game for? Yeah, I think we only won one game.
One game. Well, so we lost. Won the first game and then lost. Three straight.
So.
Four straight.
Yeah. So we did that. So, you know, to this day, I blame Oprah for us not
That's
going.
That's the moral of that story.
So blame then the Oprah. Next year, lockout happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's signing. But because I signed in China that year, you remember when JR signed, all the NBA players were signing, they got stuck over there. They put an agreement like, if you sign with a Chinese team, you have to fulfill that contract. You can't leave when the lockout happens. But because I've already signed,
it wasn't in your language.
It wasn't in my language. So I stayed, boom, boom. And the season don't start till later on in China, like almost like after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like the end. It's like after Thanksgiving, it's like December, like second, third. Like
yeah, second, third, right? So now nobody on our team wanted to go to the meetings for the lockout in New York. So they sent me, right? So I'm in the meetings, we'll listen to the, I'm like, and I'm calling my dad, who I lean for a lot, who's obviously been a GM in the NBA, a president of the NBA, head coach. So I'm like, yeah, this is what they got us trying to. He was like, oh man, that's gonna mess up mid-level, that's gonna mess up bird rights. He like breaking all this down. I'm writing notes down at the hotel, like, and I'm going in there with those notes. And I'm listening to what, you know, Derek Fisher, D-Way, all of them are saying. In my head, I'm like, damn, that's going to really mess up guys like me, like the veterans. Like, we going to be bouncing from a team to team to team to team because you're only going to be able to pay four players. Like, that's how I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You're only going to be able to pay four players. So you're four superstars. And if you look at it, that's what's going on right now. Yeah. If you look at everybody keeps four guys, but then every year is a different team.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, dang, that, you know, that's tough. But you know, we sign it, we play. Mm-hmm. So then Christmas Day is the first game of the season during lockout year, right? So the Bulls was like, oh, you're here, you know. So Yao Ming, I call Yao Ming because I've always learned don't burn bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So when Yao called, I said, look, big fella, I know y'all owe me $800. And it's guaranteed. Just give me $100K and keep the seven, and you can go out and sign up, you know, another player because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah." An hour later, I had that in my account.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, to me, it was like, it wouldn't be fair for me to take that, and I'm not playing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not good business. So I did that, and you know, all of the stuff that happened, and that's when really my NBA career just took off, like, because of injuries, I got an opportunity to show what I actually could bring to the game and bring to the table. And so we're playing good, still no one team, you know, even with Derek out, we still held the best record. Like, we took pride in that bench mob, like, that bench mob was started with us. So we took pride in that, like, one man down, next man step up, like, we hold us together. So we was like really, we had more bench mob shirts in the stadium than some of the Bulls shirts. Mm-hmm. Like we really, like me, Tyus Gibson, CJ, Kyle Korver, like we really.
That was a solid
We
team.
Really like took pride, Omer Oscar, we took pride in that bench mob. Like we was like, yeah, we the mob, like bench mob. You know? Like, so then, you know, we playing and injuries are happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing good. You know, I'm starting to feel myself a little bit. And Joakim Noah was like, we playing Miami. Mm. Joe Kim. No, it's like, yo, Luke, your energy is crazy, right? If you know Joe Kim, you know how he's high, strong. Yeah? Mm. He's like, yo, humble yourself or the game will humble you. I'm like, what? All right, whatever. All right, so we play Miami, right? ABC game. I'm coming off an 18-point game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We playing Miami. I'm like, yeah, they. I had a thing. If a team cut me, mm-hmm. I was going to have a good game against them because I'm like, I'm going to make you.
Make them pay.
So I was playing good. Woo-woo. Then the play happened.
Mm-hmm. I know where this is going, Gil.
Then the play happened. So Rip Hamilton. I'm like, Rip, back screen coming. Like, get through. Back screen. Like, I'm because, you know, Tiz, we're a defensive team, so we know somebody, you got to fall back. So I'm like, back team. Back screen coming. Back screen coming. So he don't move, he stops. So, okay, of course, I got a bag book, take mm-hmm. away, you know, that. So we boom. I'm like this, I'm backing up, you know, guard you, man, like I'm doing this. So I'm like this. They throw the ball up. I was like, hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, who is that for?
Yeah, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, huh? So he, you know, come over. I didn't know he jumped over me at the time. He dunk it. Boom. They go crazy. Like, oh, man, I'm like, ah. You know what I'm saying?
He said, I didn't know he dunk jumped over
me. I didn't know. So my whole thing was like, oh, shit, he dunked on me. Let me go get a bucket real quick.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, take the ball out. So I'm rushing down court. Tibbs called timeout. Beep.
Oof.
So,
so you got to sit
that's
there.
That's the worst.
So now they like, oh, like just going crazy. You know that Miami, you know how Miami replay thing is. Oh, everybody got white on in there. Look like you had a. So we on the bench and like, I'm like this. I'm looking at, you know, the circle thing. And like Joe Kim and Taj, we all like it's just quiet. Like, you know, the coaches huddle up in the middle before they come give you the game plan, mm-hmm. right? So we all, I'm like, oh. Like this, and Joe, and like Taj gave me this thing, like, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that happened right there. So I get back to phone. I turn both my phones. I had two phones at the time. Uh-huh. I turned both them off. I'm like, I ain't want it from nobody.
Humble yourself or the game will humble you.
And that's what stayed with me. Mm. Cause I was feeling myself.
Nah,
got humble, right? Because I was like, I'm playing good. We winning. Like, I'm starting to get recognition mm-hmm. for, like, who I always thought I knew I was. But I was also, like, kind of getting away from who I was.
And that dunk did that?
Yeah, it got me back humble, right? But I have a thing, right? It go back from, like, the Rucker part. Like, all that happened that mm-hmm. same year. When KD scored 66, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I got to get my fade back.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we played them in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So after watching on ESPN, first, you know, number one for I don't know how long, I'm probably going to be in the Hall of Fame when he has a picture of him doing it. Yeah. So I circled the calendar. We played them in 2 weeks. I was like, I got to get my fade back. Only thing that saved me a week later was when Blake Griffin dunked on Kendrick Perkins and threw him in without touching the rim. That saved me, because then that became number one, right? But the whole time I'm looking at Instagram, Twitter, people like, oh, LeBron jumped over you. I'm like, what would he do with you then?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm like, okay, cool. So Derek was supposed to come back from turf toe. This is how I said me and Derek are like this,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like rumors like, oh, Derek's coming back for the Miami game, coming back from Miami. So we go through shoot around. He kind of go through it. He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of pulled Derek to the side. I was like, hey, G, I need for you to sit this game. And he like, what? I said, I need for you to sit this game. Because I know if he's playing, I ain't playing. You know what I'm saying? I said, I need for you to sit this game. He was like, all right, if I do, you better go kill.
Go off.
I said, I got you.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is a true story.
Uh-huh.
So he like, ah, I think, I, you know, he was like, you know, it's kind of sore still. I think I'm going to sit on. So I'm on I-95. I'm like headed to United. So I'm locked in. I'm like, if he switch off on me,
mm-hmm.
all I see is black. I don't see none of my teammates or anything, right? So we get to playing ESPN game. Like, you know how you just feel like, that moment,
uh-huh.
how you get it, probably how you felt in the 60-point game in the Staples Center. Mm-hmm. I was like, I checked in the game. I was like, I told Mario, was one of my really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mario, you ain't you ain't gonna be here. He dapped me up. I didn't even dap him.
He gonna be able to fuck me
today. I said, he like, you was like, damn, hey, it was, all right, let's get to work. I'm like, nah, you ain't gonna be, I shake his hand off. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna be me today. Mm-hmm. Come out. First shot go in. Second shot go in. Oh, he go under. Mm-hmm. Floater go in. Jab step corner. Go in. 100% first half. Right? Second half start. Same thing. So now, I'm destroying Norris Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Chalmers. So guess who they switch off on?
Him?
Mm-hmm. LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So we, Tibbs is at half court calling the play. I'm like, I ain't even worried about that play. So I get it. Back up. I'm on the right side of the court. And I hit him with a, I call it wrap your leg, mm-hmm. like with cross between, kind of mm-hmm. a little setup.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he, you know, long arms. I'm just really sizing him up to see, yeah. okay, now I gotta get my shot off.
Yeah.
So I hit, and I remember working on this move all summer, because everybody know I like to go right. Mm-hmm. And I started working on this one going left where it's like a hezzo, then fade like this
yeah.
to the step, like get you off balance. I got KD with it in the pro-am game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yep, I'm gonna go to that one.
Go to that one.
So I was like, wah, 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 da, da, da. And I get left and I like jerk again and shot like this. He go up, try to block it, go over. And I knew where the camera's at. You know, you know how you know where the camera's at. And I was like, he can't fucking hold me either. Like I was having an out of body experience, right?
It was some humble thing went out the window.
Yo, all out the window. Cause I was like, I got my fade back. Like, now I got my fade back. It was all about the get back to me.
Oh, man.
So I got it back. We win the game. You know, we now, mm-hmm. it ain't over with now.
Uh-huh.
So the only shot I missed that game was a wide open corner three on the left side. So they fouled me at the free throw line. Kind of like the same scenario, but we mm-hmm. up like two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ain't gonna be Denver. That's all I kept saying. I've been talking about. Ain't gonna be Denver. It ain't gonna be Denver. Let your nuts drop today. Let your nuts. Like, so I'm like, mm-hmm. and D-Wade was like, make it interesting. Like trying to talk to me, like, make it interesting. Like they're gonna come down and hit a buzzer. I'm like, make it in. I'm like, blocking. Like, nope. We win the game. Oh, we're at. Boom.
Got both like, your fades back.
Got both my fades back. And I was like, that's what basketball is. This is what all the hard work it is. And so now when I see kids run away from the competition, I get so mad. Mm. Like I tell the kid all the time, if you're the best player at your gym you playing at, it's time for you to leave that gym and go somewhere else. Because you're not getting better by going against the same people and you winning every game. How are you going to be able to respond when you get knocked off your throne?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of players don't know how to bounce back.
So we said that's what it is. The game will humble you. So there might be a thing that you might know about Gil or something that you got to get into. We get the full story on. So it's time for Ask Agent Zero.
So throughout the league, right, mm-hmm. it's always a rumor. You know how close mm-hmm. him and Swaggy P is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep up with that whole little interchange over social media, uh-huh. how you say you're the reason he acts the way he acts, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's known to be said, I need to know if this is true, because I don't know if somebody would really do this, but knowing you and being around you for a couple years now, I think that you would do something like this. Is it true that when y'all came back from a road trip, you got hit with a paintball or something, and while you went back on road trip, you somehow told them to take his, I guess he had a 745 BMW or BMW 7 Series, and did you paint it hot pink?
Oh,
and y'all came
he had,
back from a road trip.
He had that, it wasn't, he didn't have a 745. What was that popular car? It was like a Challenger?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Challenger?
Challenger on Charger.
Yeah. He had one of those, I think it was burgundy. It was burgundy.
Okay.
And this one, him, Dre, breaking into my house, you know, shooting with paintball. Okay. So we go on a road trip. I get his keys, ship him back. So we're on a long road trip. So I get his keys, like, you know.
So you take the keys on the road trip?
No. We're on the road trip. I get into his room, take his keys, ship his keys back. Ship his keys back to D.C., have my boy take his car to the dealership, the paint dealer, and had him repaint his car and then put it back.
Sent the keys back to you?
No. Like when we got out the car, perfect. Don't worry, your keys is in the car.
Because I got to think he noticed his keys were missing.
What color did you paint?
Hot pink.
So it's true.
Yeah.
What was his reaction though?
I don't even remember. I was gone. I left. Yeah. First one off.
Yeah, this whole time, like, I was like,
I've hit his car with my car. Then that's, he played too much.
Both of y'all played too much.
Oh, yeah, we
both
played
too much. We both played too much. But with me, it's because you're looking at your double ganger, whatever he does, I have to top it. See, I do it so you don't want to like respond. Mind. Like, I just want it to quit while I win. So, like, I always double, triple, quadruple down. So that's why people say, man, he don't play fair. Like, I just keep going until.
Yeah, it's too far because I don't know if he's a doppelganger like that. It's more you're a competitor, so you're always going to raise
the bar. No, what I'm saying is I see who he is. So I know he's like me. He's just going to keep playing. Yeah. So I need to just cut this out now. I just got
to
cut it out.
So you just painted it hot pink.
To the umpteenth level.
How long did he drive around D.C. with the hot pink car? Because a paint job is...
I don't even
remember.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know about wraps then. Because if we knew about wraps, I would have just had it wrapped.
No, the fact that you had it painted, that means you had to scrape the paint
off. Yeah,
prime it.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I didn't... Damn, I wish you would have had... Yeah, I wish you would have had a... Wraps then, I would have just, because I would have wrapped a whole lot of people's shit.
you know what the funny crazy thing is though? Nowadays, Nick would probably think that hot pink cars.
Yeah, he would.
Make it on brand for Swaggy P.
So. We had fun. Let's just hit it. We had a fun team. It was a fun team.
Like you did, but I was like, I gotta ask him that question. Because it was something that you hear about, you're like, hey, let me tell you what Gil is. Like, this and that. I'm like,
because what's so funny is like people didn't understand me. Like, I trained so much by myself. When I seen everyone, it was fun time. So I'm at the gym 6 in the morning. So when 11 came, fun time. What's that? What y'all doing? Hey, I got the one because I already did my work. I did my work. No. So when the team came. That was my playground. I didn't understand that until it was too late. Like, you know, people are like, yo, why are you, you know, acting like this? And I'm like, man, I've been in the gym 8 hours today, you know, from this morning. This is my second time here. This is the first time I'm seeing human beings. You know, I'm happy. I'm like a kid right now. You know what I mean? I'm not thinking about, you know, practice and, you know, we need to, because to me, I already did my duty. You know what I mean? Now it's playtime. And that's what I didn't understand until it was too late.
Man, that's crazy. But the hot pink, yeah. I was like, I got to see if that's true.
I pinked that joint.
So you answered it. I know it's real now. It ain't a myth anymore.
not a myth any longer.
I would not play with you, but that's crazy. Hot pink, I don't even know how I would react to coming off the plane.
Come on, man, you're a millionaire. We're going to get it redone.
I know, but just knowing Swaggy P, I can hear his voice.
Oh, you're crackling and all that.
Come on, Gil.
Crying. Yeah, he was crying because he was crying off of everything. Because you got to remember, he's crying off of everything. Crying when he broke his glasses. Oh, no, they didn't break his glasses. Someone wiped him. That's...
Oh, I thought that was you too.
Nah, that wasn't me. Oh, that was Deshaun Stevenson.
Deshaun,
he has some new glasses he just bought. Probably spent like $1,000 on them. Right? And like, he's like, come on, why are you wearing glasses it's in the locker room? Like, it's just dumb. That's just dumb. Right? He's talking to... So Deshaun put it in that all.
Y'all just picking on my boy. Yeah, picking on, yeah. So he was just Nick Young, then the swaggy didn't get here.
He didn't get swaggy until he got to LA. You know, fucking calling your ass no swaggy in DC.
What y'all call it?
Rook. That motherfucker was Rook every year. Like, it was Rook. You just a fucking Rook. Nick Young, you just a rookie.
I didn't have to go through that.
I just thought about it. This is when Obama beat McCain. Obama beat McCain. I got to say you, Obama beat McCain for his presidency, right? I made a shirt. All the players had it. Nick Young as McCain getting knocked out. I just thought about it. There's shirts out there where Obama's knocking Nick Young out and Nick Young gets McCain on the ground. That's how bad we was teasing him.
So to answer your question, yes.
It never stopped. Oh my goodness.
We can never stop. We could do this all day. John, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank y'all for having
me. You took us literally all over the globe with basketball. Your journey from where you started as a kid. And it wasn't a curse, but it was a gift and a curse of, coming up and look where it got you. Where you are today with JL3 and the work that you're going to continue to do. Love to see it.
Appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
Appreciate it, yeah. Gil, the legend only grows.
Yeah, I don't think I got to bust his ass, though.
That's all right.
No, I was watching. I was on the bench. I didn't catch that.
You didn't catch that fade?
I didn't catch that fade.
Enough people did.
I watched it. Watch it. Oh, one story about him. Chicago. We was training at Attax. And me and my really good friend, Will Bynum, he used to come there and work out all the time. And he had a notebook. Like, old school person fold up a notebook and walk around with. He used to act like it was like the most secretive thing, right? Secretive thing. Nobody could get to the notebook. So me and Will was like, one day we're going to steal that notebook and see what's in there. Because that's when he was Asian, coming, doing all kinds. So Will and I, we go back late to a text one time. He leaves a notebook in his locker. We take it. We read it. And we looked at each other like, it's no way he's doing none of this. He had like, okay, spin move. This is full court. Spin move between the legs, behind the back, pull up from half court. Got to make 50 of those. Come down, left-hand side of the court, get to the logo, 50 of those. All these different, we like, this is all kind of, we looking like, he's nuts.
So is there a fake notebook that you let them get?
Nah, that's notebook.
It's the notebook, but we were just notebook. It was just like, so the shots he was making that year, we was like, and me and Will be on the phone like, Will, that's what was in the notebook. We kept saying, that was in the notebook. Like, it was like a myth between us. Like, that was in the notebook. You remember? It was like between spin move. And then he had one where when he was shot the ball, he went like this. You remember? That was in the notebook. Like, he practiced that. So we was like, that was like my biggest take on everything he did that year. That was the craziest year. I was like, all that was in the notebook. It was a styrofoam notebook. One of them notebooks you had in school. Like, you used to, you turn in with your
magic. One day, we're going to go through that notebook.
I done lost that.
Well, the rest is history.
Yeah, the notebook.
All right, for Mr. Notebook, Gilbert Arenas, John Lucas III right here, I'm Mike Botticello. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. You can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.